Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
All right, amen. Thank you, worship band. Thank you also to all of you for worshiping along. And I could hear it in here. I love hearing you guys sing along, not just hanging out for the music. So thank you so much, Victoria. Thank you guys for leading while Pastor Ron's out of town. And if you get a chance, man, make sure you wish them a happy anniversary. I remember when Pastor Ron was single and had roommates, and we wondered if that was his destiny, but thank God he had a plan, amen? So I don't know what situation you're in this morning, but he has a plan, God has a plan. He doesn't want to leave you in whatever situation. For him, it was single, praise God. He married up, but we're so, as we all did, hallelujah, all God's men said, amen. Amen. You better, if he didn't, elbow and... perfectly condoned violence here in church. So want to worship with you as we continue our series on Thanksgiving pie. And this is the sweetest series that I've ever preached. Last week, we talked about that exactly. We said about how we need to learn to practice gratitude when life is sweet. Sometimes when life is sweet, we have so much negativity, we don't even get to enjoy it. So we douse that negative vinegar all over everything we consume. And so we can't be thankful even when things are sweet. This week, we're gonna be talking about the crushing, how to be thankful even in times of crushing. And this is an important time for us to be thankful for. Because sometimes when times are crushing, you get a little distracted. And you think this is the end and this is all there is. And so it's hard to be thankful in that, but that's not the end. God has another purpose. You will get out of this crushing. And then finally next week, because brace yourselves, next week is the last Sunday before Thanksgiving. And some of you all have some crazy family. Okay, not me, because this is live and online, but some people have crazy family. And so next week we're gonna talk about practicing gratitude when life is full of nuts. If you have such family, you know, invite them to church next week. They need to hear this sermon, okay? Or maybe just you, right? Are you guys ready? All right, so our key verse for this series is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. It'll be on the screen, but it's always a great idea to follow along in your Bible or on your web, on your mobile device. We love the YouVersion Bible app. It makes it easy to highlight stuff and then go back and check it out later. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, always be joyful. Yes. Always. Yeah. All right. Verse, we're gonna have potluck after this. Okay, all right. So, and even if we weren't, all right, yeah. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever made pumpkin pie from scratch? Just raise your hand. All right, whoa, there's a lot of you and younger people. There is a resurgence of going back to the way things were, the hard way, right? You're gonna make that pie. Let me tell you, I've always just gotten my pumpkin pie like this, you know, like served to me on a plate, maybe from Publix, right? You go to the bakery and you're like, that looks good, you know, and that's how my pumpkin pie usually comes. But for some, they go through the torture of making it from scratch. And for all of you who raised their hand, man, God bless you, because I started reading up on this. I don't know how to make pumpkin pie, but I looked on the internet and now I do. So if I'm wrong, blame the internet. So apparently what you do is you have to get a certain kind of pumpkin, because you can't use your old jack-o'-lanterns that have kind of fallen, you know, and gotten rotten since Halloween is over. Okay, you can't use that. Sorry, as appetizing as that would be. It's a different kind of pumpkin. It's actually what's called a pie pumpkin. And the lady who was writing the blog post said, they're about the size of a toddler head. So if you need to borrow another toddler's head, just, clearly she has toddlers. And so you split the pumpkin open. Pumpkins, depending on how many you're gonna make, right? You split the pumpkin open. You scoop out the guts just like you would in a jack-o'-lantern, except that it's split in half, you know, like. And then you put it in the oven on a sheet for an hour. And you bake it, all right? And I'm like, good, well, that'll make it easy, right? No. Then you scoop the flesh out of the pumpkin. And you put it in a bowl and mix it with spices, and then you beat it with the little, the beater, mixer, whatever you, sorry. I'm internet educated, as you can tell. I am not going to do this. And then just, you know, and then, because right there, I'm kind of done. I'm like, okay, that's, I'm going to Publix, okay? That's just not, I'm not in it. I don't really, I'll go get pecan pie, okay? Pecan, we had a pecan, okay? Like, there's just three kinds. Anyway, that's next week. Like, I'll save myself for that. I want that. But some of you will keep going. And you know what you do after you get that out? And you mix it and you beat it. According to the internet, you then wrap it in cheesecloth and hang it so that it can dry and drip and all the juices kind of get out of there that don't need to be in there. So I don't know, maybe someone has come here today and you feel cut open, you feel baked, you feel scooped out, you feel beaten, you feel hung out to dry. This sermon was designed for you. And so that you know, just don't bother with pumpkin pie. Just go to the store. This is Marsh Landing pumpkin pie. Last service, I neglected, I forgot, I messed up. I did not give away the slice of pumpkin pie for first service. So both services, you know, both pieces of pie are available. And my wife, you're welcome. You're welcome. My wife also said perhaps people would like to eat the pie afterwards more if you would not spit on it your entire sermon. So remove it from the table and put it behind you. So unless I go back there, and I'm gonna try not to, all my spit is reserved for Ron here, right here on the second row, and Dr. Harvey Webb as well here, thank you, and my children. All right, so we're gonna practice gratitude in times of crushing. You may feel like you've been cut, cooked, beaten, and hung out to dry, but God will transform whatever has happened to you into his great purpose, into a sweet smelling recipe of your life. Now, I'm gonna read a lot of verses here, and I need you to promise me that you're not gonna think about pumpkin pie or potluck for just a few minutes, okay? We're gonna read these verses so that it can cue up what I'm gonna talk about after this. So Acts chapter 7, verse 17 through 34. Here we go, stay with me. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had abandoned him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Moses was taught all wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. Verse 23, in case you got lost or have ADHD like your pastor, one day, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, so Moses came to the man's defense, avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day, he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be the peacemaker. Men, he said, you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other? But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. Who made you ruler to judge over us? He asked. Are you going to kill me as you did that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There, his two sons were born. Verse 30, 40 years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Now go, I'm sending you back to Egypt." And all God's people said, amen. All right, it took a while for that crushing to kind of take shape and for Moses to finally hear the voice of God. So if you're in the middle of crushing right now, here are some things to remember. Number one, your crushing is sometimes self-inflicted. I'm gonna start out with this one because I wanna make sure we frame it properly. It is not always self-inflicted, but sometimes it's all you. Sometimes you're suffering and you're struggling because you refuse to do the things that you know to do, right? You're just kind of living in your own foolishness. And I'm gonna pull away from that just a little because I don't wanna be too hard. But if you're here in the midst of your own self-inflicted crushing, please do not allow me to lessen that blow. Now, there are plenty of crushings that take place that are completely outside of our control. So when I say sometimes self-inflicted, do not inflict yourself with feeling that you're responsible for every negative thing that's ever happened to you. That is not how this world works or how God works. There are all sorts of horrible things happening in the world today. I am grateful for, as we celebrated Veterans Day Friday, I am grateful for every veteran who has served and protected us in this country. But not everybody has that blessing. There are groanings in the world today, crying for Jesus to come back and rescue. In Matthew 24, you know, I'm not the prophecy pastor. I don't do that. I'm not gonna go buy a big pair of glasses like that guy on Instagram and like point to the calendar and this day is the day Jesus is gonna come back. I don't know, but I'm looking at Matthew 24 and I'm like, it might be soon, okay? It might be soon. But look, the way that we're supposed to behave in that way is not to run around like chickens with their head cut off thinking, oh my goodness, the world's gonna end. Yeah, it's gonna end. You were promised it was gonna end. The good news is like, you know who's in charge. And you know that you're one of his, so you're okay. You're gonna be okay. But the point is not to run around and go crazy and make sure we tune into our news network of choice, you know, Fox News, CNN, whichever flavor, it's all human. Sorry, I lost a couple people last week because I said if you don't like chocolate peanut butter pie, you can find another church. So this week, maybe, it's all human interpreted, okay, current events. Regardless of the flavor, it's all got a little bend on it, okay? But no matter where it's coming from, it ought to motivate us to say, Jesus is coming soon and the world needs to know that. Now, you don't need to be the freak that stands out at the street corner going, Jesus is coming, repent. Okay, but you do need to be the one who loves your family and your neighbors and your friends so much that you tell them about Jesus. All right, let's get back to this part. The world's too crazy not to say something there. So some of the crushing is not self-inflicted. There's, with every war, with every child soldier, with every sex trafficked child, with all the things that go on today, with all the injustices that happen, they are crying for deliverance. And those are not self-inflicted crushings. But some of it, I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to identify. Some of it is all you. Some of it is all me. You know, I have a wife that loves me so much, she's not gonna let me suffer under self-inflicted crushing without letting me know, hey, do you think maybe you just did it? And then it got worse because, and then my wife can do that so lovingly. Some of you are like, your wife, she does, okay? Like she thinks for herself, okay? And then she helps me become better. Some of you, your crushing is all you. If you're 30 and you're still calling and you're still having daddy issues, it's you. If you are in ISS, children, if you're in school suspension, I gotta do that for the old people. If you're in school suspension for fighting, man, you did that, okay? Like that's you, right? If you are broke, but you got a nice car, right? Or an internet or an NFL ticket, right? NFL Sunday ticket. I'd get poor just paying for that, right? That's why I go to my friend's houses to watch TV. But you did this. You did this all yourself. Like I'm talking about those situations. What happens is we see what God is going to do, but we short circuit. We cut a shortcut to where he's going because we don't want to go through the painful process that leads to this beautiful pie. And so Moses wasn't much different than us. He got impatient. He could see that God was saying, hey, that you're the one who's going to free the Israelites. Long before the burning bush, he knew he was going to be used to deliver the Israelites. But he didn't like how long it was taking, so he took the shortcut and he killed the Egyptian. And when we read in Exodus chapter 2:15, he is suffering under the crushing of his own self-foolishness. When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. This is the Hebrews, God's chosen people. We already have established that that God's chosen people are gonna have a special blessing through Abraham's promise. And so you don't have to force it, that's God's plan. You do have to wait for it. You do have to be patient for it. But he takes the short path and ends up on the run, self-exiled to Midian. Now, I don't know if you've ever made pumpkin pie, but this is usually how we do it, right? This is how we do it, okay? This is actually how most normal people, excuse me, those who did it the hard way, this is how normal people make pumpkin pie. We are not in the 1800s, but if you want to give me a slice of pie after I insulted you like that, I would love to eat it, okay? But this is what we do. Life gets difficult. We look at what's coming up and we're like, I don't want to sit there and wait for that cheesecloth to drip dry. I want pumpkin pie now. I don't even know what's in here, okay? Probably not just pumpkin, okay? And I don't want to go through the beating. I don't want to go through the cutting. I don't want to go through the hanging. I just want to have the pie. And so we crack this open, right? And I don't know how close you are to Jesus, but if you've been living with this your whole life, and then you have this, it'll change your life. Okay, the counterfeit isn't as good. Now, if you came today to potluck and you brought a pumpkin pie, I am very sorry. Send your email to garrett@sebastianchurch.com. He will take all your complaints. He'll buy you a Publix pie. Yep, or Sam's, whatever. You are good at finding deals there. So your crushing is sometimes self-inflicted. Number two, your crushing is not permanent. Can you look to someone next to you who needs to hear this? Say, your crushing is not permanent. Your crushing is not permanent. Yep. Type it in the comments if you're watching online. My crushing is not permanent. It feels good to say that. It does, because when you're in the midst of a crushing, it doesn't feel like it's gonna be over anytime soon. It feels as long as it takes to make a pumpkin pie from scratch. It doesn't feel like we're gonna get to the end anytime soon. In fact, I bought the contents to make chocolate chip cookies. Dad's special chocolate chip cookies recipe. I bought it and I had this like dream that we would do this like when Samantha got home from surgery. By the way, she's here, praise God, she's doing awesome. She's going to school tomorrow, so she's doing great. She had, those who don't know, she had brain surgery a couple weeks ago and is doing awesome. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, let's make cookies, you know, and together as a family, but it never happened. We were just so busy, so crazy. But the great thing about cookies are we can go from ingredients to eating the cookies in about 20, 25 minutes, right? That's my level. Okay, and that's why you can still keep the kids engaged. But some of you go wandering off the second that it gets a little difficult. The second that it goes beyond what you feel is an acceptable length of time. But your crushing isn't permanent. 1 Peter 5:10, love this passage. It is not a direct connection to this story, but it's a direct connection to how God works in our life. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, everyone say a little while, just a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. This deserves memorizing. This deserves memorizing, and then when the crushing happens and it feels like you can't go anymore, you remember just a little while. Now, Moses didn't have any pumpkin pie filling can in his possession. He didn't have a shortcut. He tried the shortcut, and it led to a long time in the wilderness. And we get to Acts 7:30, and we start to see the length of this crushing. It says, 40 years later, Acts 7:30, 40 years later in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. Exodus 3:1 and 2, I wanna pick out one more thing here. We're going back to Exodus, jump around. Exodus 3:1 and 2, it says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And this is the part I wanted you to see. Moses stared in amazement. When God finally speaks, after you've been crying out, after you've been throwing a pity party, let's just be honest, throwing a pity party for 40 years, I may be throwing a pity party. And when God finally speaks, sometimes we've forgotten we've been asking for all this time. It kind of surprises us that God came through. And so we need to realize that God may have been trying to communicate. Like, I just know that when these things happen to me, like when God does a miracle, burning bush type moment, I probably ignored some more simple, clear messages along the way. And God's like, he's not listening. I guess I've got to resort to a burning bush. And I want you to realize, look, Moses stared in amazement because he knew there was something special about to happen. He must have thought that it was gonna last forever. He must have thought that he would perish a slave in Egypt, in exile in Midian, and his people, slaves in Egypt. They're coming in here to see the baptism that's coming. We're gonna have a baptism in just a few minutes. But we have plenty of time for Pastor to finish this message. Welcome. So, I don't know about you, I hate that song, Doesn't Kill Me, Makes Me Stronger. Like, it sounds good, I like the song, I love music. She sings it great. It's a catchy beat, but I don't wanna live that. No thank you. Get me my puree from the can, okay? I prefer not to have stuff try to kill me and then make me stronger, okay? But you gotta realize that there is hope beyond the crushing. You have to decide, hey, after a little while, no matter how long, no matter how difficult your crushing is, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is not your reality for eternity. That there is, after a little while, there is a hope beyond this crushing moment. So, If there's hope beyond this crushing moment, you have to make sure you don't confuse your crushing with your identity. You are not your problems. Your trauma does not have to be your trajectory. You don't have to keep going that direction. Your wounds are not your worth. Right? Your pain can be your pivot instead of your destination. You don't have to sit there in the crushing. You don't have to hang in the cheesecloth forever. Your crushing is not permanent. Number three, your crushing has a purpose. It's funny, like we know this. These are points you could probably come up with without your pastoral ministries major degree. Probably come up with them all by yourself, but it's so hard to practice. Like it's so hard to, yeah. We know that there is purpose in the crushing. We know that there's a good thing eventually. But it's really hard when we're in the midst of it. And there's, especially when there's stuff that we don't even have any sort of control over. It's really hard to see a purpose in those things. Acts 7:20 says that at that time, Moses was born. He was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. And then something happened that he had no control over. His family had no control over. Verse 21, when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. That is, the family had to abandon him, and Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. Verse 22, Moses was educated in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and in action. Now, I want to just remind you, if you've never heard the story of Moses, when God says to Moses in the burning bush, I think it's Exodus 5 or 6 or somewhere in there, 3, 4, 5, 6, that whole little section. Moses' first excuse is what? I just can't talk. I don't know how to talk. I'm not good at talking. No, you were prepared for this moment. You were given the greatest leadership training in the land. You were trained to be powerful in speech and in action. Because someone else doubted your purpose. You may have picked up a stutter along the way and you lost all faith that God has purpose for your crushing. In Acts 7:25, it says, Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. When people do not recognize your potential, don't forget your purpose. Don't forget that God has something for you bigger than other people can see, bigger than the rejection that you've suffered. And I feel like I have to say this whenever we talk about pain or crushing or anything. God is not responsible. God is not the cause of every pain, but he will redeem and transform every pain into a purpose. I hate that process. But with this messed up world, it is our greatest hope that no matter what happens, God will use even those ingredients to transform your life into a sweet smelling recipe. God will give every pain a purpose. God will bring purpose out of your suffering. God will bring purpose out of your trauma. The trauma you've experienced, I can't preach to those people. God has gifted you with just the right life experiences to be able to talk to someone who would never listen to this pastor's kid who grew up, you know, somewhat rebellious, but never experimented with all the difficult things that you may have been through. Like you're their greatest preacher. You're the only one they might listen to because of what God's brought you through. God will bring purpose to your grief. It doesn't mean it won't hurt. But God will redeem it. God will use your pain to help someone who also has pain. You see, when we practice gratitude when life is crushing, we begin to see the purpose. We begin to look past the crushing and see what God is doing. So you may feel like you've been cut, cooked, beaten, and hung out to dry, but God will transform and redeem everything that's ever happened to you. For his glory, for his wonderful, sweet-smelling recipe in your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. I know there are some who are suffering right now. We're in a family, we're in a church family here. I'm asking that everybody keep their heads bowed, just create some privacy. If you're in a crushing right now, would you have the guts to just raise your hand, look up at me even for just a second, just so I can know who to pray for. I'm gonna pray for you right now. Yep, I'm seeing there's plenty of crushing here. I myself have my hand raised, not for an example, but I'm there with you. So Lord, I pray over everyone who's experiencing a crushing right now. Would you send your Holy Spirit to bring freedom? Would you reveal your purpose? Would you protect them from self-inflicted crushing or help them return and run away from it? Lord, we pray for peace that passes understanding for these people and for me. It may not be now, but someday we pray that we'll celebrate that we finally know your purpose. In Isaiah chapter 53, we learn that Jesus was crushed for us. God sent Jesus to be crushed for our sake, punished in the place of every sinner. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. With our heads still bowed, I know there is, at this point in the service, you may have a desire to get to the potluck, but I invite you to get to Jesus first. If today's the day you wanna say, I wanna put my faith in Jesus, I wanna put my faith in the one who was crushed for me so that I can have peace with God, so I can have purpose from my pain. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand. I'm not gonna make you come forward. I'm gonna talk to you later. We can connect and I can help you grow. Anyone, I wanna put my faith in Jesus this morning who was crushed for my failures. I wanna put my faith in Jesus who will redeem even my self-inflicted crushings. Anyone? And so even if you make a decision there at your seat, even if you decide, hey, later today, I'm gonna do that. Don't wait. I invite you right now, would you pray this with me? Jesus, I admit that I have sinned. I admit that I'm the one who deserved the crushing on the cross. And I believe that you died for my sins. in order to forgive me. And don't forget this part. I commit to live a life surrendered to you. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.